All right, good evening. So it's already been remarked that I have shaved my beard. The person in front of me has shaved his beard as well. So we're coming off the period of Tisha B'Av. 9 days are over, 3 weeks are over. Listening to music is back. But if we think back a little bit to what we had a couple of days ago, Tisha B'Av is about our collective mourning. And it's a difficult mourning period because it deals with parts of history that did not directly impact us, generally speaking. Maybe if we include the Shoah in there, so maybe a little bit more, certain things that have happened over the last few decades. But generally speaking, the catalyst for Tisha B'Av is not something that we connected directly. So we ask questions about connecting to the day, connecting to the Korban, connecting to Jewish history, and all of that. But I want to bring that sort of mindset into the question about what about consolation? The Shabbos is Shabbat Nachmu. And I want us to think for a second, what's the role of the 21st century Jew in, you know, the Nechama that comes about post Tisha B'Av, that comes from Shabbos Nachmu? Does this Nechama, does this consolation, is that something that we relate to? Is it something that we even think about? Is it just something that we kind of know that there's a Haftarah that's Nachmu? We know it comes after Tisha B'Av. We know it's supposed to provide some sort of comfort. But is it something that we personally feel and internalize? So first I want to, let's just define a little bit what we're talking about here. See if I can kind of zoom this in a little bit. All right, yeah, this is good. Okay, so first of all, the word lenachem, it can mean, sometimes it's used to mean comfort, and sometimes it's used to mean console. So the word console means to alleviate the grief, the sense of loss, or alleviate the trouble of. So that's what console is, and that makes sense for what's going on. But I think it's worth reflecting for a second the difference between comfort and console. Comfort is something that perhaps we use to talk about relieving distress, but it's something that when we talk about comfort, we're talking about any sort of distress sort of falling away. Comfort is something that is perhaps sort of wipes away feelings that we might have had that are not so long lasting. But consolation, or to console, comes in a time of grief, in a time of disappointment. And this is what, when I Google the difference between consolation and comfort, so something that some of the language experts discussed is that comfort might be about making something go away, but consolation is not necessarily about making things go away. When we talk about consolation coming in the context of grief or deep disappointment, so it's not necessarily something that we're going to get rid of that pain permanently, but there's a little bit of a relief that comes. Whereas I think when we talk about comfort, so maybe comfort is sort of a lesser degree of that. I just want to suggest that Chiluk, and it seemed like the linguists were willing to make that distinction as well, that consolation is something that's a little bit deeper than comfort. So, of course, our Haftarah this week, very famous. Let's just pull up for a second what we have here. So, Haftarah starts, Nachmu, Nachmu, Ami, Yomar Elokeichem. Comfort. Oh, comfort my people. I don't know if that O is necessary. I think you could preserve the duplication of the word Nachmu without that word. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Dabru alev Yerushalayim v'kiu eleha. Speak tenderly to Yerushalayim and declare to her. Ki mal'at tzva'a ki nirtza avona. That her term of service is over, that her iniquity is expiated. Ki lakcha miyad Hashem ki fa'im b'chol chadotaha. For she has received at the hand of the Lord double for all her sins. So this is how the Haftarah starts. So What I want to discuss is how the Mefarshim understand this. How they understand, especially this first pasuk, Nachmu, Nachmu, Amin Yomar Elokeichem. What's going on here? And sort of some pointed questions is, who's doing the comforting to whom, and why the double language? And I think as we get a little bit deeper into that, I think we'll open up something that's very fundamental about this period and about consolation in general. So I just realized I forgot once again. I wanted to create like a... okay, so Mitzvot David starts by saying, Nachmu, Nachmu. What's this duplication about? Elokeichem yomar el hanavim. Your God will say to the prophets, Nachmu et ami. So Hashem is telling the prophets to comfort. Hashem's telling the prophets to provide the consolation. Okay, and then he also explains, Kefel hamila yore alachizuk. So why is Nachmu said twice? The reason is to strengthen the command. Right? It tells you to call, it calls attention to it. It tells you that it's something that's really important, right? It's not just Nachmu Ami, but Nachmu Nachmu. This is something that's imperative. This is something that's urgent. So that's how the Mitzvot Davia understands it. That we're talking to prophets, and the duplication is merely just meant to sort of stress the command. The Malbim says similarly, Atem hanavim nachmu tami, that you, the prophets, should comfort my nation. V'yan sheha ge'ula tovo okodem azman mitzad eschus. So there's two possibilities how redemption might come. It might either come early because we were worthy, because we did tshuva, because we did something to deserve that. Oh, im kablu or if they receive their punishments. So even if we don't necessarily merit a quick redemption, but we go through the whole process of exile, so why is Nachmu duplicated? Because it's meant to tell us of two different kinds of geula. There's a fast geula, which is something we talked about on Sunday in the Shir, that be'ita achishana says a pasuk in Yeshayahu that Hashem will hasten the redemption in its time. So that seems like a contradiction. So if we're worthy, we will be redeemed. It will be achishana, that we will be redeemed sooner. If we're not worthy, then geula will come, but it will be, you know, at a set time that's to come later. So a similar idea here, that Nachmu Nachmu comes to point out that we should be consoled because geula will come at some point. Whether it's sooner or later, it will come. That is Nachmu Nachmu, according to the Malbim. So the Alshich takes a little bit of a different perspective initially. Than the Malbim and Mitzvot David, because they both said that Hashem is talking to the Nevi'im that they should comfort. Right? So it seems like it's their responsibility, which makes sense if we're in Yeshayahu. So that's Hashem's prophecy to Yeshayahu, is the importance of the Nevi'im providing consolation. The Nevi'im were the ones who described the initial possibility of there being destruction. So now they're in the task to play the other role of being the consolers. But the Alshich says, we should be comforting Hashem. Why should we be comforting Hashem? Because we sinned him. We sinned to him. It's because of our sins that his home was destroyed. So Hashem should need the comfort, the consolation, because ultimately it was our fault. And not only was it our fault, it's not like we're just like Hashem's children and we suffered and Hashem's sad to see us suffer, but it's like it's our fault and we cause Hashem's home to be destroyed. So if anything, we should be consoling Hashem. But Amar Kila Goldo and v'tanuto yitbarach lo kenasa. But because of Hashem's humility, so he didn't say it that way. So we didn't come to this point where we say, well, it's our job to console Hashem, because Hashem is humble and Hashem's not making this about himself. Therefore, he commanded to comfort the nation. And this is what Nachmu is. And why is there the repetition of the language? So there's two possibilities that the Alshech brings. Klomar, b'mashu elokeichem b'yichud megud avato etchem, sher gam b'zechem oto lo siyak elakutom aleichem. So the Nachmu stresses that that Hashem nonetheless remains our God. Right? This is what we see in the Tochacha and both the Chukotai and Kitavot, that even when Hashem brings the curses, so Hashem's not severing, he's not severing the covenant entirely, but so from our perspective, it may seem like he's suspending it, but it's not really being severed, and Hashem is still our God. And that should be our comfort, the fact that Hashem is still our God. And that's a very big deal, because Hashem could just say, listen, you broke your end, I'm breaking my end, and that's it. And then what? But the fact that Hashem is keeping the covenant, so much so that, I mean, from the first Korban to the second Korban, it's only 70 years. So that quickly he allows a return is something that is a big comfort. But the Alshech also brings another perspective So why do we need two Nachmus? Because Yeshayahu, or Hashem through Yeshayahu, or Yeshayahu through Hashem, I guess I should say, understands that there's going to be two Korbans. There's going to be two destructions. There's the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash and the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. And in both instances, we're going to need great Nechama. It's interesting, I guess, you know, because we talked about the Mitzvot and the Ma'amid talk about it's the task of the prophets to provide Nechama. It's interesting, I just thought of this right now. We wouldn't have so much time to get into this, but it's not prophets who are going to provide comfort in the period of second Beis HaMikdash, but it's going to be the Chachamim, the sages, are the replacement of the prophets. And it's telling at the end of, I don't have a Gemara in front of me, at the end of here, I could pull it up right here. Yeah. So at the end of Makot, so there's a story that there's a fox lurking around Har Habayit, and the Chachamim are very distraught by that. And Rabbi Akiva laughs. And the reason why Rabbi Akiva laughs is because the notion of a fox being there demonstrates that that certain part of the prophecy is fulfilled. So the entire prophecy will therefore be fulfilled also. And then what did the sages say? Akiva nichamtanu, Akiva nichamtanu. So there too we have sort of a repetition of this idea of nechama. So I wasn't going to go entirely into that right now, but it's interesting that in the wake of the second Korban, so we have this notion of, in this case, a sage comforting, and there's also that Nicham Tanu. But anyway, but here, Nachmu is that we need Nechama in the wake of the first Korban, and Nachmu in the wake of the second Korban. Rabbi Yosef Karo, who, not to be confused with Rabbi Yosef Karo, who was the author of Shulchan Aruch, but Rabbi Yosef Kara was a medieval parshan, not as well known, but one who was sort of in that school of Pshuto Shamikra, of trying to understand the simple, straightforward explanation of the text. So Rabbi Yosef Kara says, "Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu Chizki Asher Elu Lachem Etchem." So it was originally Chizkiyahu, the king Chizkiyahu's job to console the Jewish people. And this and what happens right before this prophecy of Nachmu Nachmu is in fact the nevuah of the destruction that comes in the wake of Chizkiyahu's time. But Chizkiyahu wasn't thinking about the future. He wasn't thinking about the need to comfort Yerushalayim about the prospect of it being destroyed. So as long as everything was good in my days, I don't really have to worry about the future. So Chizkiyahu didn't do his job of comforting. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hareini menachem et Yerushalayim. So therefore, I'm going to console Yerushalayim, which is a little bit of a different tune here, because for the most part, we were talking about Nevi'im being the ones to do comfort. Maybe there was an idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself should be comforted, but here he is the one doing the comforting. And so that's a little bit of a different tune. So we go to the Barba now. Barba now also brings the idea of there being two Nachmus. And he said, I think he brings the idea of there, if I remember correctly, he brings the idea of there being Nachmu for both Chorbans, but he says one is for Sheyesh Gvul V'Tachli L'Galutam, that there's a end point to Galus. It's not going to last forever. There's a deadline. It's going to be over. And the second one, V'Kiru Eilaha, and that's Deborah Levi Yerushalayim, because Deborah Levi Yerushalayim is to try to settle, that's really consoling the heart of Yerushalayim. So that's where we need the Nechamas, that Yeshiva doubt, that settling of the mind and of the heart, that there will eventually be an end to the Galus. And the second Nachamu is a Kira Leha Shetashu B'Tshuva Kadesh Yunigalim. He's calling for a Tshuva. So I don't know if that's saying that there's a guarantee that Tshuva will come, or if it's just, you know, you should be comforted by the possibility that you can do a Tshuva, and by doing that, you will be redeemed. Fine. So then the Abarim now quotes Midrash. And like the Al-Sheikh, it's a question of who should be consoling whom. Because, so this Midrash from Psikta Rabati says, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Lamit Shechin Nachem, who needs to be comforted? So he brings a few different examples. So maybe, let's say if there was a woman who, Chas V'Shalom, her husband passes away. There's a woman who, Chas V'Shalom passes away. So of course you would comfort the husband. You're not comforting the woman herself, but you're comforting the husband. So this is like Tzion, right? So we don't need to comfort Yerushalayim because it's not, you're not consoling the deceased, so to speak. We're not consoling the destroyed Beis HaMikdash, but it's the husband, so to speak, which should mean that it should really be a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right, Kayotze Bo Lama Hadavar Lama Hadavar Dome Lemi Shnishbu Shnei Bana Bechaya. So somebody has two sons who were captured. So who do you give comfort to? Is it to the captured sons or to the father? So ostensibly, it's really the father that needs to be consoled after his sons are captured. Doesn't know, right? So same thing with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's children were exiled, were captured. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu who needs the comfort. And same thing, if somebody loses their home, so you're not consoling the home, you're consoling the owner. Same thing with Kadosh Baruch Hu. It was his home that was destroyed, so you don't need to console the Beis HaMikdash. You need to console HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And same thing if you have a field. If you have a field that was burned down, so it's not the field you're comforting, it's the owner. If you have flock that were devoured by a lion, so you're not comforting the flock, you're consoling the owner of the flock. So the same thing that here, that we should be consoling, really we should be consoling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not necessarily Am Yisrael or based on Mikdash or Eretz Yisrael or the like.
But if he wanted the Korban to happen, then how can we console him?
Well, that's what the Al-Sheikh says, is that it's that he wanted it to happen, but it's because of our sins. It's our fault. Uh-huh. So So it's really kind of like a double blow to him. But then the Midrash goes on to say, Alpha Pikain, Lechul Paisuva. But nonetheless, you have to go and consult. It's really, I think, a combination of Am Yisrael and Yerushalayim. So then all the Vim gather, they try to go to provide consolation. And the rest of Midrash, which I'm not going to read inside, goes through different Nevi'im. We try to comfort in different ways, and they're asked, you know, so what do you have? So they bring a pasuk, and then the reply is, well, there's another pasuk that kind of encourages or not encourages, but sort of notes the inevitability of the Chorban. So that's not really comfort. So none of the Nevi'im are able to provide comfort. Eventually, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram, Lech nachem es Yerushalayim, go comfort Yerushalayim. Maybe Yerushalayim will accept Tanchumi from you. So Avram tries going, doesn't work. And Yitzchak tries going, doesn't work. And Yaakov tries going, doesn't work. Moshe tries going because he's deflected because it's in the Torah itself where it mentions that there's a consequence to not following the Torah, which results in the Churban. So Moshe is unable to do it. So finally, Miyad Halchu Kulam Mifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everybody goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'amru Ribono Sha'olam Lo Kibla Mimeni Tanchumim. Yerushalayim did not accept our consolation. Shenemar Ani Yasarel Lo Ruchama. That she wasn't comforted. So Amar Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ani Ve'atem Nelech Nachama Havei Nachmu Nachmu Ami. So it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu together with Nevi'im, but it's ultimately in the hands of a Kaddish Baruch Hu to provide that consolation. Right, so before we said it's the Nevi'im who's supposed to do the consolation, according to this Medrash, Nevi'im can't really do it because they're partially responsible for implicating Klal Yisrael for the sins that they did. It's only a Kaddish Baruch Hu himself who can go provide that that consolation. The Abar Ben El notes, by the way, that that part of the reason why Klal Yisrael needs the consolation more than a Kadosh Baruch Hu is because I think there are sort of five ways in which a Kadosh Baruch Hu was deflated, so to speak, by the Chorban. But Abar Ben El gives 10 different ways in which Klal Yisrael suffered through the Chorban. So that's a Kifayim. That she received double for all her sins. So at the end of the day, yeah, Kadosh Baruch Hu might have needed some nechama, but it's Klal Yisrael who needed the nechama. So this is a very powerful idea that it's that it's in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's hands to provide the consolation, and that there was a level of failure of the Nevi'im to be able to do. Provide the nechama. Now, Tosfos in Megillah discusses the three haftaras that we read before Tisha B'Av and the seven that come after Tisha B'Av, right? The Shiva de Nechemta. And they say that the way that the nechama unfolds is that each haftara provides more and more comfort. That the comfort is, the consolation is increased. There's a progression. So Rav Soloveitchik explains that our haftarah is nachmu nachmu amin. We think that this is the consolation haftarah. This is the real nechama. But the truth is, over the course of the haftarahs, the consolation is not really accepted immediately. In fact, again, I just mentioned this one. The haftarah for A 2 weeks from now is an yasar alo ruchama. That comfort, the consolation wasn't accepted. So there's a little bit of a back and forth with consolation being offered and refused and offered and refused. And it's only until we get to Sos Asis Bashem, the final Haftarah, that we get to that point where the Nechama is fully accepted. Rav Moshe Lichtenstein sort of expands on that by saying that in our Haftarah, indeed our Haftarah opens with an exceedingly minor consolation. How is that so? Because Nachmu Nachmu Ami, these words do not reflect a call to mobilize a people's inner strength in the face of impending redemption and change their mindset from passivity to readiness to forget the exile and leave it, but rather a desire for calm and tranquility. This haftarah just gives the opportunity to maybe have a little bit of respite from the sorrow, that there will be an end eventually, but this haftarah does not represent the be-all, end-all of nechama. That actually comes a little bit later in the haftarahs. And Rav Moshe points out that it's Nachmu, I'm a Yomar Elokeichem. So Elokim is usually associated with Din. That Hashem in this haftarah is a great ruler, he's a judge, but it's still Midas Adin, it's judgment, it's not mercy. Whereas in the other haftarahs, so you know, again, you know, you have Sosasish Bashem, so that's Hashem's mercy. So it's only later on that we have that, we go from that aspect of judgment to a closer relationship, one that is full of, that's mercy, one that might be more father-child-like, as opposed to like a judgment one. Okay, so Rabbi Maurice Lamb expands on this beautifully, and he points out that our midrash also shows a lack of ability for human beings to comfort, right? So he writes, and this is a book consolation. It's really a book about mourning, you know, sort of, you know, when we lose a loved one. But he brings in this haftarah. One second. So Rabbi Lamb writes, in these circumstances, two major prophets, Isaiah and Yirmiyahu, tried to console the people. But alas, even their profound spirituality, their awesome leadership, and their legendary eloquence could not assuage people's fears. Even though the prophets served at the command of God, the people still rejected their consolation. Unhappy, storm-tossed, and unconsoled. That's the haftarah on Yesara Lot Nochama. When the future of a people is at stake, the situation calls for God's own intervention. The tragedy that befalls a whole people needs consolation from the master of all people. So Rabbi Lamb sort of explains is that that we are that number one, we are we're not made to be totally relieved of grief, but number two, it's that Hashem is the one who truly provides consolation, right? It's later on that the haftarah for Shoftim, Anochi, Anochi, Hu Minat Chamchem, that's Hashem who provides the consolation, not the prophets, right? And that's what he writes, that when it comes to Shiva, there's sort of two tiers of consolation. First, you have the visitor, you have the human being, who certainly has a responsibility to mitzvah to be Menachem Aveilim, but the true consolation only comes from Hashem. Because, you know, the prophet, the person, can provide some distraction, can provide some reassurance, but it's in the Kaddish Baruch Hu's hands to show the finality, the Kaddish Baruch Hu's hands to reverse the situation. And that's where we get from Nachmu, Nachmu Ami, that that it's not necessarily entirely in the prophet's hands, but something in Hashem's. Right. So I think the major takeaways is that we you know, there's multiple layers of needing consolation, there's multiple sides of a relationship. We saw that Bnei Yisrael need consolation and Yerushalayim needs the consolation, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu also needs it. We still have to console HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the lack of Malkum Shechina. But there's also the idea mentioned on Motzei Shabbos from Soloveitchik, that behold over our door, we see ourselves as if we left Egypt. We see ourselves mourning Tisha B'Av, but we also need to experience consolation. So we go on the 10th of Av, and it's, we know we're not focusing on the tragedies anymore. But it's not that the tragedies aren't of consequence, because we still do tik zecher lechorban, still a responsibility to be thinking about this really throughout the whole year. But we move on from the 9 days and 3 weeks because we learn to adapt, we continue on, and that's what Jewish history is about. We're living the consequence of exile, but we accept some sort of nechama. So that's something that we need to relive. We're part of that process of growing consolation in the unfolding of Jewish history. So we have a duty to help each other. We have to console each other. But we also see that consolation is also b'dei shamayim, hakol b'dei shamayim, including consoling others. That that in the wake of this haftarah, it's not just human beings who have that power, but it's really in the hands of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Right? Rabbi Lamb's chapter on this is called "Man Comforts, God Consoles." It goes back to what I said at the beginning, that we could provide a little bit of comfort, but it's totally in Hashem's hands to provide that full consolation. Right? It's Hashem who has that full power, and Mirtz Hashem, Hashem will grant us that full consolation through the form of redemption, speedily in our days.